In Genesis chapter 50, starting in verse 22. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt in his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of the land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God. Early this morning, I was thinking about worship, and worship has been taking place this morning. We don't divide worship up in that there's this kind of worship and this kind of worship. Worship has been taking place as we have come together as the body of Christ. Listen to what David says in Psalm 119, verse 25. He says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. There are many reasons we stand before you now with the word of God, but this is one reason our souls need revived. We cling to the dust. We are earthly. We are pulled by the things of this world. We are pulled by our nature. And God has given his word that we might be, how's David say it? Revived. Revive me according to your word. Our prayer is that that will take place this morning. Amen. As we continue to worship. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's go to the Lord. We need his help as we study together. Father, we have gathered this morning as your people, people called by your name, people who were walking our own way, doing our own thing, living life without you, apart from you, separated from you. But, oh, great God, you rescued us. You saved us. You have moved us from darkness to light. You have moved us from blindness to sight. And God, it's all been by your grace through Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the price that he paid, for the reminder this morning that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Father, thank you that he took our place. And Father, that not only have you saved us from sin, but now you have made part of your purpose and plan to save us from the power of sin, and you've done that through the death of Jesus Christ. And Father, even now, as we open up your scriptures, we know that that's taking place. Help us, Father, this morning to be attentive. Open our ears, open our hearts to you. Speak to us through your word. And Father, as we begin this study of Joseph in the Old Testament, God, may you use it to transform us. May you use it to make us more like Jesus. May you use it to draw us nearer and closer to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We begin this morning with the end of a man's life. And it may be a little strange to begin a study of a man's life by looking at his death. But in truth, you can learn a lot about a man's life by considering his death. So again, look at Genesis chapter 50. Brother David read that passage. I'll read it again. Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 to 26. And Moses writes and he says, so Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. At the very end of his life, this man Joseph continues to be a blessing to his family and, yes, a blessing to us today. His death is not unlike many that we have witnessed, and yes, even what we may experience in our own dying hours. He saw his children. He saw his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. He was able to love them and minister to them and be with them in his old age. And not only was he with his immediate close family, but the scripture tells us that he was with his extended family. Moses calls them here his brethren. This is the family of his brothers and his sisters. These are the descendants of Jacob. Moses calls them here the children of Israel. Perhaps we can even picture in our minds this morning as the family of Joseph, his immediate family and his extended family are now gathered around him as he dies. They're around him because they love him. They are around him because he is important to them, all of them. They are alive and they're living and they're flourishing and they're prospering and they're still together as a family because of this man, Joseph, and the grace of God that worked through this man named Joseph. And of all the things that he could say in his last hours with them, Moses records his words. He says, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land of which he swore to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. See, folks, the last words of Joseph were words about God, about faith, about hope, about promise. And this is what the life of Joseph is all about. It's about God. It's about faith. It's about hope. It's about promise. The scripture says that he lived 110 years. He lived the life that continually impacted and influenced the lives of people around him. And by the grace of God, the life of Joseph has impacted people now, the people of God, for over 3,500 years. And today continues to bless God's people and influence God's people. So when I started this study many months ago, one of the first questions I asked myself when I began this study was this: why Joseph? Why study the life of Joseph? What I'd like to do this morning is give you several reasons why we study the life of Joseph. First of all, we study Joseph because the timing is right. Now, to be honest with you, I tried to do this study about a year ago, or maybe even more than a year ago, and the timing wasn't right. We went someplace else in the Word of God. And so I laid aside those 10 sermons or so that I had finished, and I said, well, I'll pick them up one day when the time is right, and the time is right. The time is right. Folks, in the last 5 or 6 years, our studies and our worship time have been primarily from the New Testament, and we have studied together certain and specific doctrinal foundations for living the Christian life. We have studied some amazing truths from 1 Peter in the New Testament. We have examined together important truth about the body of Christ, the church, and then there's been scattered truth throughout those studies. So the timing is right to journey to the Old Testament. It's the right time to study the life of Joseph. Second, we study Joseph because time spent in the Old Testament is time well spent. Time spent in the Old Testament looking carefully at certain people and events recorded in the Old Testament are extremely valuable to the people of God. It's impossible to leave the truths about God in the realm of our minds or in the realm of the intellect, and we need to see truth lived out in the lives of people. And folks, that's one reason that God gave us the Old Testament. That's what the biographies in the Old Testament will do for us. We see examples. We see people living their lives. You see, we may know about God and praise God for this knowledge of God and how He reveals it in our hearts, but we need to see life. We need to see it from the pages of God's revealed Word and to see how people lived and how they responded to God. And we see that over and over and over again in the Old Testament. God's training manual that we call the Bible is full of lives that inspire us and instruct us. Hold your place in Genesis and turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and look with me at verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. I want you to notice what Paul says here, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Remember now, he's talking to Christians, and he says this. He says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now this phrase that Paul uses here, were written before, that encompasses all the truth of the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, if you look in the context, he's talking about the Old Testament here. He refers to Old Testament Scriptures here. So we see in this statement by the Apostle Paul two basic reasons why God has allowed us to have the Old Testament for study and application. First of all, for present instruction and learning. We need this. We need God's truth from the Old Testament. But second, Paul says that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures that we might have hope. He gives the Old Testament that we might have a future hope. This is why he gave us the Scriptures. This is what Paul's talking about here when he talks about those things that were written before. God has given us this truth so that our minds can learn truth about Him and about life, and that we will be encouraged to persevere in the future. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, over just a few pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and again, the Apostle Paul speaking to believers here, to Christians. And let's begin with verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Paul says, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain. By the way, you need to underline that. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now look at this. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Look carefully at the words of the Apostle Paul. Verse 6, he says, now these things became our examples. Verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. Now these things in verse 6 refer to the first five verses of chapter 10, which point back to the people of Israel and some of the things that they endured, some of the things they experienced, some of the choices that they made in their walk with God. The same thought is repeated then in verse 11, emphasizing that God gave the Old Testament to us to instruct us and give us hope and to warn us about how we should live our lives every day, so that we will not desire evil things like some of our spiritual ancestors did. This is why God gave us the Old Testament. And brothers and sisters, we would be hard-pressed to find such a rich abundance of teaching and hope and warning in any other place or in any other person of the Old Testament than this man named Joseph. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, familiar passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look with me at verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul says here to Timothy, you know this passage, you know it well. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice that Paul says here, all Scripture. And when he wrote these words to Timothy, do you know what Scripture he had in mind? The Old Testament. The New Testament was in the process of being written. And so he's thinking about the Old Testament. If you go back in the context, you see that clearly. That's what Timothy was taught as a young person. Paul says all Scripture, the Word of God, the Scripture, what we're about to study from the book of Genesis, it is profitable. It will equip us for every good work. This is why we study the life of Joseph. Number three, we study the life of Joseph because of the life he lived. Now for a moment, I want you to think about Joseph. Perhaps you know a lot about Joseph. Perhaps you know a little about Joseph. But we can summarize his life in just a few statements. He was the favored son of his father Jacob. He is 17 years old when we first meet him in detail. Because his brothers hated him, he was sold as a slave. He was taken to Egypt. After being falsely accused of rape, he was in prison with no hope of getting out. And because he correctly interpreted Pharaoh's dream, he became prime minister in Egypt. And eventually, he welcomed his family to Egypt, which preserved the line of promise that had started with his great-grandfather Abraham. In the coming months, we're going to fill in the details, because there's many details to fill in. Folks, here was a man who was chosen and rejected. He was loved and he was hated. He was favored and he was abused. He was betrayed and he was rescued. He was promoted and he was imprisoned. He was tested and he was rewarded. He was slandered and he was praised. At no point did he take his eyes off the Lord, and therefore adversity did not harden him, and prosperity did not ruin him. Temptation did not destroy him. Imprisonment did not embitter him. Promotion did not change him. Starting with Genesis chapter 12, the record of Genesis focuses on four great men: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Of those four great men in Genesis, Abraham and Joseph get the most space by the inspiration of God in the Scriptures. It may surprise us even to know that the record of Joseph takes up more of the record than Abraham. So Joseph is important in the history of God's people and the history of redemption. It's the hinge. His life, this man is the hinge upon which we go from Genesis to Exodus. Joseph. Exodus tells us how God delivered his people from Egypt, and Joseph's record tells us how they got to Egypt. Joseph is a clear record of a life that is centered on God and a man whose faith and hope are in God. And brothers and sisters, we desperately need examples like that. Amen. And then fourth, we study Joseph because there are specific lessons that we need to learn about life and living for God. For example, we need to learn that life is not easy. Joseph did not have an easy life. He had to learn in his life how to respond to people who hate him, how to trust God in the pit of despair, how to deal with sexual temptation, how to redeem a painful past, what to do when you wait and wait and wait on God. How to see God's hand in all things. How to make wise plans. How God awakens a guilty conscience. The marks of true repentance. How to live for God in a pagan culture. How to overcome lingering bitterness. How to die well. You see, folks, life is not easy for any of us, and for some of us, it can be very difficult. It was difficult. It was hard for Joseph. And in the midst of all this difficulty and hardship, he was loved by his father. He was hated and betrayed by his brothers. He was sold for money. He was falsely accused. He was judged guilty of a crime that he did not commit. He was abandoned and forgotten. He was promoted after he suffered. He became the instrument of salvation for those who betrayed him. And so even with those words, it's easy to see that there is a connection between this Old Testament man named Joseph and the Messiah, Amen. Jesus, our Savior. And when we look into the Old Testament Scriptures, we will look carefully at the life of Joseph. But even as we look at the life of Joseph, we will keep our eyes centered on Jesus, because there are truths here in Joseph's life. There are pictures here in Joseph's life of Jesus. Bible teacher W.H. Griffith Thomas said it this way. He said, "It's impossible to avoid seeing the close, prolonged, and striking resemblances between Joseph and Christ." And therefore, in our study, our attention will not only be upon the life of Joseph and how that can help us and encourage us and move us to spiritual growth, but also the life of Joseph will draw our attention to to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this should be because Jesus is the theme of all the Scriptures. We also need to learn from Joseph that we must trust God for today and tomorrow. We'll see as we get into this study of Joseph that he had a life full of trouble and turmoil. And folks, Joseph had no clue about the details of his future. He had no idea of what each day would hold for him. I mean, think about it. How much did he know when he was a teenager in his father's home? How much did he know when he was thrown into a pit by his brothers? How much did he know when the wife of Potiphar accused him of rape? How much did he know when he lay month after month after month in Pharaoh's prison? How much did he know when he was elevated to the second most powerful position in all the kingdom of Egypt? You see, brothers and sisters, we have plans and purposes for life, but it can all change in a moment. One phone call, one email, one knock on the door. Joseph did not know the details of his future. We don't know the specific details of each day. Praise God, we have the written Word of God that gives us the big picture of our future. We know that, and we can trust that, and we can depend upon that. Joseph did not. Each day, he had to trust God, depend upon God, look to God. Joseph did not know the details of his future. So we should study Joseph's life and study the way that he lived it. There was no plan that he was following. There was no clear idea of what would happen in his future. There was no happy ending in view in his life as he lived it day by day. One day at a time is how he lived. Brothers and sisters, we should live the same way, trusting God, depending upon God. And by the way, that's what you call living by faith. Living by faith. And then we need to learn from Joseph that God is the true focus of this record. God is the true center of Joseph's life. We see it in Joseph's life. We hear it in Joseph's words, and especially those words that he spoke to his brothers when he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." You see, it's easy to forget that through all the ups and downs of Joseph's life, God was there, God was working, God was faithful in every single event to produce the desired result, which Joseph himself could not see until he got there. See, God was working. God can be trusted. Brothers and sisters, there's not a clearer declaration of God's sovereignty and God's grace than the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. And if we study the life of Joseph and don't come away with a new and deeper appreciation of God's sovereignty over all things, then we have certainly missed the point of his life and the record of his life. And folks, above all things, the life of Joseph will point us to God. And we certainly and desperately need God. We need God. When we are betrayed by our family, we need God. When we are falsely accused, we need God. When we are forgotten and ignored, we need God. When we are recognized and promoted, we need God. When revenge and bitterness tempt us, we need God. When forgiveness is freely given to those who have hurt us, we need God. And the good news is there is a God, the one and only God. and we will learn much about him in this study of the life of Joseph. So what can I say this morning? If you're from Wyoming, hang on to your saddle. If you're from West Virginia, hang on to your four-wheeler. If you're from Iowa, hang on to your tractor. God has much to teach us from the life of Joseph. We'll see ourselves, we'll see God, and our lives will never, ever be the same. Let's bow our heads right now for prayer. Father, may our hearts be filled with anticipation of you speaking to us through the life of Joseph. Father, we look with wonder and amazement at how you will take words that were given by you to men of old, written so long ago, and today you will change lives by your Spirit through this word. And Father, thank you for the record of Joseph. And I pray, even as we have just touched on a few things this morning, that Father, it will whet the appetite of your people, that we will hunger and thirst for your word, that we will hunger and thirst for you. Help us in the coming months. Give us clearness of thinking. And Father, I pray, give us a diligence to be here, to not miss what you would say to us. And Father, to desire the growth that will take place in our lives through it. Thank you that we will see Jesus in the life of Joseph. It's in the name of Jesus we pray this morning. Amen. 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 Let's sing together.